Today's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 31. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do unto others as you would have them do to you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning again, church. I want to back up and welcome you to worship, or add my welcome to Pastor Kathy's. I'm glad that you're here today to be a part of this service as we come together to remember the story of God, to be sort of have our spiritual wheels lined back up and to be reminded of who we are and of who we belong to, that we belong to God and we belong to one another. I'm glad that you're here and a part of this today. Today we observe All Saints Sunday when we celebrate and we remember the communion of saints. The church triumphant, those who have shaped and have blessed us in life and are now gathered up into the presence of God, into the promise of resurrection. This is a day in which we check our orientation to life and death. We recount God's promises, and we claim them once again for those who have gone before us and for ourselves and for our world. Some of my favorite prayers are the ones that are found in the funeral liturgy and the burial liturgy. We've had two funerals here in the last week or so, and so I've been reminded of those words again a lot recently. These things that we ask of God as we sit in the ashes of loss in our lives. We pray, "Give to us now your grace, that as we shrink before the mystery of death, we may see the light of eternity." We pray, "Speak to us once more your solemn message of life and of death. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our days here are accomplished, enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that living or dying, our life may be in you, and that nothing in life or in death will be able to separate us from your great love in Christ Jesus our Lord." Some of my favorite prayers. It's a way of saying, we are reckoning with death, O God. Help us to put it in its proper place. Help us to recognize that while death can rob us of so much, it cannot rob us of the ultimate promise of your eternal love. That stands. It can't go any further than that. The Reverend Mary Barnett writes about the loss of one of her lifelong best friends, a woman named Molly, whom she met on the beach when she was 3 years old. After they met, they shared every summer of childhood together, some 15 summers on the beach. They had gone on to remain close friends and stayed in touch, well in touch through college and adulthood and marriage and children and all life as it comes. until Molly died at age 54 and left behind three children. And Barnett writes of being frozen in grief for her friend. But then something breaks within her. She says, "During Molly's funeral, I suddenly felt compelled to stand up. I couldn't take her passing sitting down. I wanted to protest." Those piercing words. "I couldn't take her passing sitting down. I wanted to stand up and protest." How many times have I felt this? How many times have you felt this? The urge to stand up and say, "This is unacceptable." To stand up for life in the face of death. To draw a line in the sand and to say, "You may go no further, far enough." I felt this last summer after the floods came, as the count of the missing turned to the count of the dead. A sort of powerless rage, looking around and wanting to do something, anything to stop death in its tracks. I couldn't take it sitting down. I wanted to protest. Perhaps you too have wanted to protest against death. Perhaps against a particular death. Or maybe against something trickier. To protest against the powers that death employs among the living. Against cancer or Alzheimer's for sure. Against depression or addiction. Also against hunger and war and greed. It seems to me that these words from Jesus' sermon, these Beatitudes, are just such a protest. They are a stand for life against death and the powers that it employs. In his stand for life, Jesus reveals God's value system, God's economic system, as one in which the poor and the hungry and the weeping ones are called blessed. They are the keepers of the promise. Meanwhile, those who are none of those things receive woes. "Woe to you who are rich and full and laughing now." The woes are a warning of traps, of slippery spots in the road ahead. Another pastor calls them a wake-up call to those who had the means to make life more blessed for others without such resources. The question is not so much about the amount of money in your bank account, though I think that that is not totally irrelevant here. The bigger question, though, is, when death is on the march, how do you face it? Do you hide from it? Pretend it's not there? Do you back up and stay quietly glad that it's not affecting you personally? Or do you stand up against it by weeping with those who weep, by standing with the poor, by feeding the hungry, by loving in the face of hate? When the forces of death are alive and active among us, the saints do not take it sitting down, friends. They stand up for life. The Reverend William Barber II leads the Poor People's Campaign, which is a national movement to establish a moral imperative to address poverty in this country. This week in a press conference, Barber decried those who think that power is to be used and measured by how many people they hurt and how many people they make rich, rather than how many people they heal and how many people they lift up. He said he believes that suffering forces people to come together and to stand up. In the face of suffering being imposed on the poor in this country, He called for a standing up like we have never seen before. Stand up for life. I believe it all ties together. This is what saints do. They stand up for life. In funerals and in food banks, in the halls of hospitals and in the halls of government, in the casseroles and caring presence of a friend in grief, and in the Meals on Wheels delivery for a senior. When death threatens to steal hope or health or dignity, the saints stand up in the face of death and declare in those hallowed words of Gandalf, "You shall not pass." They interrupt death mid-sentence. With their lives, they declare the truth that death has already been overcome by love, and in Jesus' name, love will not yield. The saints that we remember today, they are those who have been a channel of blessing in our lives, a channel for the blessing of God. We remember them with gratitude, even in the midst of our grief. In a moment, we will pray the prayer of great thanksgiving as we celebrate Holy Communion, and you will hear, you will probably be startled by a moment of interruption, by that line in the sand when our somber, darkened, reflective room and mood will be interrupted by the triumphant sound of Easter. We will light candles all around this room that are themselves an interruption, a protest, a break in the darkness as we remember those who have shined their light and their lives in this world. And in the face of death, we will gather around this table and be fed. We will take into our very selves the love that makes all things whole, the body and blood, the very presence of Christ. We will partake of the life that has already stopped death in its tracks. And in receiving, we will find that we have been given all that we need to be sent out into the world as saints. Not perfect people, but those with the power to stand up for life every place you go. So may it be so. Amen.